Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you just heard the text for today. It comes from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. But really, the heart of that message is found in the last two verses. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, as most people in this room already know, and those who don't will soon be learning, the first thing we do when we preach a particular text is figure out what it is that text means. Here we have kind of a special text today, I think, for a couple reasons. The first is this text comes from the New Testament, not the Old Testament, so we don't face that particular challenge of trying to apply the gospel without, you know, spiritualizing or changing the events that actually happened to somebody into some kind of allegory. Here, Jesus is actually speaking these words, so we don't have to import him into the story. And just as important, who he's speaking to, the disciples, are believers. So we also are not faced with the issue of trying to take a message that is intended for unbelievers and apply them to believers and pretend like they're outsiders, and then somehow, in the middle of our message, we're going to convert people who walked in here as Christians in the first place. Jesus is speaking to believers, and even though the particular people he's speaking to lived long ago and far away, in a very real sense, he could be speaking to you and to me. And that message is, this is how people will know you for who you are, by your love for one another. This is our name tag, in a sense. Now, the only thing really left to figure out at this point, from an exegetical standpoint, is what does Jesus mean by love? Now, there's a trap that I could possibly fall into trying to nuance agape and philos and eros, but I'm not going to do that because essentially I'd be standing up here pretending to know things that I don't really know that well, and there may be one or two people listening right now who would understand what I really don't know. And so instead, I'm going to go to the context card. Context is king, after all. This really pays off because just a few verses before, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples like a servant. So we can see that service is one of these elements of love. Not thinking of your needs over someone else's needs, but the other way around. Not thinking too highly of yourself is a hallmark of the love that Jesus is talking about. In a couple chapters, Jesus will explain the depth of love when he says that no one has greater love than this, that he should lay down his life for his friend. And then really a few chapters after that, I'd say that Jesus blows even that out of the water because he lays down his life not only for his friends, but for people who hated him, for his enemies. We could cast a wider net for context and include Paul's words of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy or boast. You know the lines, right? You've been to more than one wedding, chances are increasingly approaching 100% that you've heard that before. So we gather all this information together, and we feel like we've got a good handle on what Jesus meant, and we're prepared to explain that to our listeners, and it's at that moment that I find myself at the very edge of going horribly wrong. Because to paraphrase and sort of butcher a recent movie's quote, brothers and sisters, we ain't just in the explaining stuff business. We're in the doing stuff business. And that is what this text is really about. Jesus doesn't just explain love, he models love. And he doesn't say that we will be known by the way that we talk about love. He says that we will be known for the way that we actually love. You know, when I started preparing for this message, one of the first things that came to my mind was a song lyric from a song called Surely God Is With Us by Rich Mullins. And the verse that kind of stood out to me goes like this. Who could move a mountain? Who could love their enemy? Some of you might have heard that before. Well, the first time I heard that verse, it struck me, what an odd pairing. You know, who could move a mountain is something that's completely impossible, whereas loving your enemy, well, that's totally possible. And to put the possible after the impossible, yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? And yet, The longer I've tried to live a Christian life, the more I've kind of questioned which one is more difficult. You know, I used to hike mountains. I could surely spend a time hiking after class or maybe on a weekend and come back with some rocks in the back of my backpack, and I could actually start to move a mountain. But loving your enemy, well, that's kind of different, isn't it? I mean, if you've ever tried it, it's incredibly difficult. And yet this is how Jesus says that we're to be known for the people that we are. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves today. How do people know us? Now, I don't mean how do people know the church, capital C. That's a useful question, but that's not the question at hand. I need to ask, how do people know me? And you should ask, how do people know you? Is it by your love? When I pose this question, I'm human. I would like to have a positive answer. So when I ask it, I'm not going to start by thinking of relationships with enemies. Let's stack the deck a little bit. Let's instead turn and say, how do I act toward the body of Christ? Well, immediately I run into a little bit of trouble because included in the body of Christ are other denominations, aren't they? Lutherans aren't going to find themselves alone in heaven. And frankly, I'm not always proud of the way that I deal with people, speaking of them or to them, if they have different theologies than I do. So let's not go there. Let's stack the deck a little bit more and say, how do I deal with other Lutherans? Except for that includes ELCA, and I'm not always very nice to them. How about if we include LCMS Lutherans? Well, but not all LCMS Lutherans. How about if we include LCMS Seminary Lutherans, but not from the other seminary, just LCMS Seminary and Lutherans here at Concordia? Surely we can love one another here. But I have trouble with that too, do you? I mean, sometimes it's hard to love other people because, well, they're just so arrogant, or they're so lazy, or their worship style is, it's too traditional for me, or it's too contemporary, or they're too inclusive, or they're too exclusive, or they're too fat, or too skinny, or too tall, or too short, or too young, or too old, or too different. And frankly, between you and me, if they were exactly like me in every way, I think it would give me the creeps, and I wouldn't like them either. And so I find myself saying, you know, the mountains in the Middle East aren't really as big as the Rockies. I probably could make some progress on those if I really put my mind to it. And yet, that's not the choice that we get. That's not how people are to know us. These are not Jesus' words. This is not our name tag. We're to be known by our love. And so there's no getting around this. If we want people to know us for who we are, it has to be by our love. Now, there's dozens of ways that we could approach this, and I don't have time. I'm probably short on my time already. So instead, I'm just going to leave you with a suggestion, and that is try to assume positive motives. Assume positive motives in other people. Think of any long-term relationship you've had, and you'll notice that the surest way to get off on the wrong foot is to assume whatever they did that's bad, they did on purpose, but whatever they did was good, well, they probably have some ulterior motive. They want something from me. On the other hand, if you assume positive motives, well, suddenly you're not thinking that somebody who cut you off in traffic is specifically trying to make you late for work. Maybe they have a good reason. Maybe if you knew that reason, you would appreciate it too. Maybe someone with a different theology isn't trying to undermine everything that you stand for, but instead they're trying to be faithful in their own way. Assume positive motives in other people. It's almost the weekend. Just try it for the rest of the week and see how that goes. It sounds simple because it is simple, but frankly, so is love one another. And just for me to stand up here and say that it's simple and therefore it's easy, well, that'd be a lie too. But it's possible. And it's possible for a reason that we find in the song that I mentioned earlier, Surely God is With Us. Like a lot of contemporary Christian songs, it has that repetition of that chorus at the end, surely God is with us, but the very last line says, surely God is with us today. And that's why this is possible. Because Jesus did not just drop this commandment on us and said, you figure this out, fellas. And he didn't even just explain it and model it and leave it at that, even though that's profound and it's life-changing. Now, Jesus walks beside us today in love. And through the Holy Spirit, he dwells within us in love. And through him, if we let him lead us, and he wants to lead us, through him everybody looks a little more lovable, don't they? In fact, with him leading us, we can love one another and be known for who we are, brothers and sisters in Christ and children of God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.